two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We hope your Pioneer Day weekend is going well for you today, and thanks for making us part of the festivities here for the next couple of hours anyway. Tim Hughes sitting in the studios of Broadcast House in downtown Salt Lake City, recording the program on Thursday, so the parade hasn't even happened yet. I'm sure you enjoyed all of that yesterday as well. On the line with me, as always, from the compound in Sugar House, the Sky Call compound, is Russ Smith. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
How are things?
Well, things are going well. It's so dang busy here. We'd like to get a day off once in a while.
Yeah?
But we'll see.
I thought the beauty of being you was, and being a home or a business owner, you could decide when you took a day off. But
well, you know, I think Dave Ramsey says this. He says, if you're a business owner, you have lots of time. But when you start, when you have to be at the job every day, you're not the business owner anymore. You're one of the employees.
Yeah,
I'm an employee.
I live that myself, and you find yourself when it is slow, and you've got the time to just kick back. You're constantly worried about where that next dollar is coming from. So
exactly,
there is
exactly.
no break.
That's coming to an end here eventually. We're I can say this officially. We're looking for someone to purchase the business, and it's hard to find somebody, you know, and somebody that'll take over and do what we've done. But we're going to go play. Actually, we're looking at a motorhome tonight.
I was about to ask that question. Yeah. If you've already picked one up.
So hopefully by this weekend, we'll be out putting around in it, you know.
Well, maybe. You can start a convoy because Navidavska's already... Navidavska's already has one, and it's quite the looker. I got my first look at it up at camp a couple of weeks ago. Navi, you guys didn't take that to Portland, did you, Mike?
No. We flew. We flew to Portland. And, I'm on the same page as Russ. I have 8 months and 9 days left to retirement.
Not that anybody's counting.
Yeah, who's counting? I'm glad you like my motorhome because you know me. I don't know a whole lot about that stuff, but you approve then, huh?
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Nice.
And having a place where you can basically call it home when you want to call it home is one of the allures, I think, of having a motorhome. And when you want to hit the road, you just lift the wheels up and head on.
I was worried whether my wife would like it. Everything's about happy wife and I go, you like our motorhome? And then she gets all giddy and smiles like she does. She loves it.
What are you looking at, Rush? You looking at a Class B, Class C, or the big Class A?
Class A. Nice. Gas, though, not diesel.
Oh, my gosh. It cost me, the other day it was $4.08 at the gallon to put premium in my motorcycle, and I usually brag about the fact that I can top it off for $13. It was $20 for the Harley. And made me really think about, you know, driving and tugging something like a Class A motorhome down the road.
But it's all relative in that I know that plane tickets have stayed a little low, but they're going to go up because of fuel. And motel rooms are going to go up because everything goes up when the fuel goes up.
Well, we were reporting this morning that hotel rooms are up 17% from a year ago. So when you consider the fact, and I know this was part of your calculation, Navi, if you consider the fact that this is your transportation, your hotel, you can buy your own food, cook your own meals, pretty soon you start to stop worrying about the cost of gasoline.
Well, you know, just a rental car. We tried to get a rental car in Portland, and we couldn't find one for under $150 a day.
Yeah.
And that was on a wait list to get one, and so we just Ubered everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everything's going to cost no matter what you're looking at, and everybody's just anxious to get on the road. It's all about supply and demand, and it's peaking now because everybody's anxious to get out of that house. And then it'll go back down again.
Yeah. By the way, Canadian borders opening up on August 9th.
Yes.
I know you'll be among the first to venture across.
Yeah, I'm already got that. In fact, I picked the 9th just randomly, and it turns out that's the day it opened. So we bought our airline ticket with no refund for the 9th and our rental car for the 9th. I had no idea they were going to open on the 9th.
You realize how dumb that is, right?
What, to go to Canada?
No, to just randomly pick a day when the country you're headed to has the border locked down.
My wife has told me my whole life how dumb I am, and then she always says after, you're so lucky. Why are you so lucky? You always land on your feet.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, let's just do it. She goes, are you serious? We're going to do something? It's not even open, and we're going to buy this? And I go, yeah. And it worked out. I landed on my feet again.
Well, here's the thing, and I already passed this along to you, but for our listeners, border will be open on the 9th. However, it does look like even with full vaccination, you're going to need a negative test to get across the border. So keep that in mind before you head to the Great White North.
Whatever I got to do, you can get out the rubber gloves.
Maybe they're doing that at the border, Navi. I don't know. That wouldn't be a pleasurable experience. Hey, speaking of getting away, we're going to talk to our buddy Jefe. Jeff Anderson's going to check in with us. I thought it was Greece, but he's actually in Croatia.
Yeah, well, I was on that trip, and then we chatted about it. He wanted to bring his granddaughter, and he asked, yeah, we want to do one. We got the granddaughter for the summer, and good heavens, you don't want to ruin that. And so we said, okay, we'll go next year because I wanted to do a bigger ride, and he wanted to do his granddaughter's trip. So I'm good. I'm happy for him. Gail wasn't really ready to go to Europe this year anyway, so I can't wait to hear how it was. I see all of his photos. So it'd be fun to chat with him.
Yeah, and we'll do that coming up to start the next half hour. We also are going to make a connection with Bear River Lodge Tracks Power Sports, as we always do with Roger Eggett. We're just trying to squeeze some time in between all of the responsibilities that he has. We'll have Fish Bites with Navadomskis coming up. I was hoping today, and Russ, you'll appreciate this, I was hoping to be able to get Jen Drummond on from K2 on the sat phone. Which we've been connecting about 4 o'clock in the morning just to make it a little easier on her over there with the time differences.
Right.
And we tried a couple of times and just couldn't keep a connection, but she did leave me a message, and it sounds rather ominous here. They were doing a climatization climb on, I think it's called Broad Mountain, which is somewhere close to K2.
Broad Peak, yeah.
Broad Peak. And so I grabbed this from the phone call that she left me, the phone message. Just listen.
Hey, Tim. Jen Drummond calling. I think 4:10 a.m. is our time. Just checking in for the week's call. I will try you in the next few minutes, and then we'll be rest this week. We had an eventful week with Broad Peak. Bad weather. One of our teammates lost sight. Another teammate member died. But I'm safe and sound, and things are hopefully going to get better for Q2, but not looking too promising at the moment. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, so I don't know how well you could hear that, but she said one teammate had frostbite, one teammate died. We don't get the details of that until we can make a strong connection with her, but she said she's doing okay.
Do you recall back when Dave Watson was up in that area, they climbed Broad Peak at least once. And remember, there was a guy from Park City on his team that fell off Broad Peak. Now, I say fell off. He slid, I don't know how far down the mountain in the rubble he slid down and was evacuated out. And I don't think we talked to him, but we talked to his dad.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember that?
No. But it does sound like it's something that they routinely do in preparation for K2, those that go to make the climb. So anyway, I'm glad to hear Jen Drummond is doing all right, but the weather is certainly not cooperating even now.
It's such a brutal place.
Yeah. So we'll look forward to connecting with her next week, hopefully, fingers crossed. We're going to talk We're going to talk bats today with the Division of Wildlife Resources. Bats, topic of discussion in Utah. I guess we've had some that have gotten loose in the belfry. We actually had a sign posted here at Triad Center a couple of weeks ago saying there had been a bat sighting in the lobby area of the building here, and we were all kind of ducking and running for the doors. But we'll have that discussion with the Division of Wildlife Resources. We'll go road tripping with Bob and Mark. They're set to join us. And then, Muscle, you're going to take us on a camp spot trip this week. Where are we headed?
We're going to Millsite Reservoir.
Ah.
A great place to camp and hike and ATV and bicycles and a big lake, too.
Yeah, so, all right. Great. We'll talk.
You've been there before.
Yes, I have. I just don't remember it because it was probably in the middle of the night on our state parks road trip.
I'll give you one hint.
Yeah?
Barbara took a ride on an ATV. That doesn't help.
You'll have to refresh my memory during the break. Look forward to that as we wrap up the program today, but don't go away. We've got a little news of the week coming up when we come back on KSL.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, time for a little news of the week here before we get to the half-hour news update. Tim, along with Russ, Navi is also here. And gentlemen, it's time for the first call of the day. He's back. Please help me say good morning to
James! Well, good morning, guys. Good morning, Tim, Russ, Navi. Anyhow, basically, I just saw a report. It's not all that exciting at the get-go, but it's just out of the norm, and it kind of appeals to my, well, caring for animals, so to speak. And I'm not defending all mountain lions. I know we need to take precautions against the aggressive ones, but the headline reads, Utah wildlife officers capture mountain lion at Park City's farm after a dog chases it into a tree. But there's kind of a backstory. The animal was lame. It had a lame leg. And anyhow, I don't blame the mountain lion for climbing a tree. And they were going to euthanize it, just kind of watch it, and then release it into the wild. My concern, and I might be called foolish, and I've been called worse, I just think that if we're going to go to all that trouble to try to rescue it, let it heal up, let it heal its leg. It's not like it's an aggressor and all that, and take it out far enough into the wild once it's good and healthy and let it proceed. What are your thoughts on that? I just think if it's lame now, if it's not allowed to heal, it would just be tracked down by another animal. And And personally, I wouldn't want to be gnawed on by a dog. I don't want to take a bullet either, but anyhow, a fast death might be a slow death. What are your thoughts?
Well, see, I don't know. I'd have to know the details of what they thought the injury was and what the complications were in somehow keeping it in a cage or something while they worked on it. I guess they could have tranquilized it and, you know, done some x-rays or something. I just don't know all the details of the story.
But yeah, I think they did tranquilize it, but okay. They gave a page to go to check the animal status. I tried doing that. I could find the page, but no updates on it. Not that I'm that concerned, but I do see your points, Tim. So.
Navi, jump in.
Yeah, animals get injured all the time, and I'm not saying that they all need human intervention, but sometimes they have a bad leg, and in the wilderness they do fine. They heal. You know, if somebody treat me, they go, "That guy's lame. He's got two metal knees and a metal shoulder. Let's leave me alone. I'll be all right." You know, you just kind of. I'll catch a squirrel once in a while, and I can lose a few pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it all depends on the injury and everything, but I thought if it's lame enough for a dog to catch it and all that, that shows it doesn't have a dexterity a normal adult mountain lion has, and that's what I was trying to get across.
Well, just for the record, I've had to do that a couple of times with him on a ski hill where he's trying to be lifted off, and I said, "Nah, leave him alone. He's just lame. He'll come back around."
Say, shoot me, Tim. Shoot me.
James in Texas, always great to hear from you.
Thanks a lot, and as hot as blazes here and all that, and I know you are too.
So yeah, it's 99 degrees here today. All right, James, always good to hear from you. Thanks for listening in. We have to talk about water this weekend. Russ, I know we're going to head to Mill Site, which is a state park. You mentioned it's a big lake there. We had, I believe his name is David. I don't want to get it wrong. Devin Chavez from Utah State Parks on with David Dujanovic earlier this week, and he's talking about the fact that these things are changing almost on a daily basis. And so even on this weekend, if you're a boat owner and you have plans to go out and you think you're going to launch your boat, you better check ahead of time, because some of these boat ramps are having to be shut down for low water situations. And Navi, I thought of you with the report this week that they are having emergency releases of water from places like Flaming Gorge, Blue Mesa Reservoir in Colorado, Navajo Reservoir in New Mexico. These emergency releases could last until at least December. All of this to try and raise the water level at Lake Powell just to where we can be sure that the hydroelectric power can continue to run. And they're saying the minimum hydropower level is 3,490 feet. Right now it's at 3,557, so it's darn close.
Yeah, well, it's a new world, Tim. Let's just hope this isn't the new normal, like they say. But water is a very, very serious issue that we all have to pay attention to. And I'm looking right now at my dead yard, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Yeah, well, you should be. That was another one of the reports this morning that secondary water could be shut off by September 1st in places like Kaysville, Davis, and Weber County. It's one of the things we're going to keep a close eye on here at KSL with Utah's Morning News. But what does that do to the fishing on the green when Flaming Gorge increases the flow from like 860 cubic feet per second to over 1,300 cubic feet per second?
Now, these fish are going to adapt. They'll be fine. I mean, in the natural world, when there's no tailwater, they have floods all the time, canyon flows. These fish know how to protect themselves. And if they don't, they'll be fine in the long run. You know, our recreation is lower in priority right now.
No doubt. But it is noticed, and I don't know if you heard this, Russ, but earlier this week they were talking about folks that own houseboats and have them docked at Wawweep. They're telling them if you're planning on getting your houseboat out of the water, you better do it soon because you may not be able to retrieve it.
I don't know what their provisions are there for mooring them a little further away from shore. I don't know that anybody's set up for that.
No, but you watched that operation fairly closely when you were making the attempt at putting sat phones on houseboats down there in Page. And that's not a simple process.
No, it's a big process to pull those boats out of the water. I mean, that being said, it gets done every day, but you've got to be able to get a semi-trailer. It's not a trailer, but it's sort of a trailer, a rack, down into the water under the boat.
Yeah.
And that puts a lot of equipment at jeopardy because there's no paved ramps anymore, I don't think, that go into the water.
Well, it's a scary situation, and I talked this morning with Grant Wayman in our weather department, and I asked him if any of these flash floods in southern Utah that we've had almost on a daily basis down there were going to have any impact at all on Lake Powell, and he said, look, no conversation about any of these storms coming through mean a darn thing. The only thing we can count on or hope for or pray for is to have a good winter, and if we don't have a good winter, folks, these kinds of conversations we're having in July and August could be had again, probably in April and May. So we'll continue to watch it. Fingers crossed. Say a little prayer. We'll take a break. News is next, and then we head to Croatia. Hefe checking in on the bikes. Stay there.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.